Welcome to Get Right for Sunday, a podcast designed to help you prepare for Sunday and beyond. I am Pastor Wright, and each week I have a conversation exploring the Bible readings for this upcoming Sunday. Join us as we discuss how the lessons are applied to our daily life in Christ. Welcome to Get Right for Sunday. I am Pastor Wright, and today we're going to look at the reading, specifically the gospel reading, for the 21st Sunday after Pentecost. Now, we're kind of getting towards the end of Pentecost, and we'll start to see a shift, and we'll hear Jesus speaking about the end of the world, end of the days. We're not there yet. We're still talking about things of the world and how to deal with the world. And today's gospel comes to us from St. Matthew. It is the 22nd chapter, verses 15 through 22. And it's still the challenging of the Pharisees trying to catch Jesus, trying to show that he actually is not that smart or doesn't have that much authority, and just trying to embarrass and to trick him and get him to mess up. So the question at hand, and it's the Pharisees. The Pharisees went and plotted how to entangle him in his words. And so they sent their disciples, and they had this question: "Tell us then, what you think. Is it lawful to pay taxes to Caesar or not?" And I love this question, because who wants to pay taxes? You earn the money. Why do you have to pay the government? Why do you have to give money that you have earned to the government? Yes, they'll provide roads, police, fire, all these things, but do they really use all your tax or money for the good of the community, for the benefit of you? And, you know, we can get into politics and governance and so on and so forth, but at the end of the day, it's your money, and you have this law that takes money out of your paycheck. Even if you buy something, you have to pay taxes, so on and so forth. And that's far more reaching than what the Pharisees are doing to Jesus. But it still stands. Is it lawful through Scripture, through the Bible, to pay taxes to Caesar, the government, or not? And Jesus answers. But Jesus, aware of their malice, and I love this word. Malice means that they are seeking to mess up his situation. They have evil intent against him. They want to take him down. So, aware of their malice, said, "Why put me to the test, you hypocrites?" Huge, huge insult, huge title placed upon the Pharisees. "Show me the coin for the tax." And they brought him a denarius, and they said to him, and Jesus said to them, "Whose likeness and inscription is this?" They said, "Caesar's." Then he said to them, "Therefore render to Caesar the things that are Caesar, and to God the things that are God's." When they heard it, they marveled, and they left him and went away. And this is a huge statement, and it's so hard not to see Jesus with this big grin on his face when he says this, because in essence, he has said, give to the world what the world has. Give to the world what the world's is, and then give to God what is due God, what God is owed. And if we just think about this for a second, what does God own? Well, we would quickly answer everything. So what do we owe man? What do we owe the government? And now with this, we can go on a lot of tangents. And we have to remember that all authority is God, and he gives it to the government. He gives it to the leaders. And some use this authority for good, for benefit, for the help of the neighbors. Others use this for selfish reasons, the dictators, tyrants, so on and so forth. But all authority is from God. And so by paying taxes, we get to see how God uses the government for our benefit. And I mean that sincerely. We have Romans 13, obey your governing authorities. And again, this is for your benefit and according to what Scripture says, insofar as what Scripture says. If the government says, go murder everybody, of course, do not listen to the government. And again, that is such a silly example, exaggeration to make the point. But Jesus is making this wonderful statement that you have been given the gift of government. You have been given the gift of leaders and rulers for your benefit. Why would you not render to them what is due? How can you support the government? How can you give to the government? And we need to remember, all that we have in our life is from God. And this is the gracious, divine providence of God. He gives us all things. Yes, including the government. For all its issues, all its problems, after all, there's a bunch of sinful people in the government. But there's a bunch of sinful people everywhere and anywhere we go. And we'll always deal with that on this side of heaven. But it is here that we get to see that when Jesus says, render unto Caesar what is Caesar, and to God what is God's. Well, everything is God's. So what do we do? How do we best use our taxes? How do we best use our government? How do we best use our community? How do we best use what God has placed in our lives? Well, it's in service to the neighbor and to the glory of God. We never take upon good works to point to ourselves. We never use and work through good works so that we can uplift our ego, our standings in the culture, community, whatever. And we should do the same thing with government. When we pay our taxes to government, we should do this with joy. And I know that is such a hard statement to say, because again, who likes paying taxes? But we do this because this is one of the ways God works through the means of his creation. He uses the government for protection. Protection from the enemies, those who would attack, and so on and so forth. He uses the government to provide. Let that be social services to help the orphan, the widow, the poor, the sick, whoever. Those things are benefits to our community, to our nation, to our people. And we get to use our taxes, the money we have earned, to provide help for those who need it. And I do stress need it. And we have corrupt systems and so on and so forth. And people always take advantage of our situation, take advantage of our social help and networks and things like that for their own gain and their own benefit. But that shouldn't stop us. And we shouldn't begrudge helping other people through these means of taxes. And again, I know this is hard. And if you could see me, you could see that my arms are crossed because I'm talking about taxes. But when we understand, where do they go at the end? Who gave us the money? Who gave us the ability to work? Who gave us creation? Who gave us everything? It goes back to God. And so how do we, the citizens of this wonderful nation, then now use the taxes, the government, the social networks, the social programs, and so on and so forth, to truly help and benefit our neighbor? And this is what we need to work on. And we can do this locally. We can do this within the family. We can do this within the church. And these things are hard because now it's actually dealing with people. It's not just throwing the money at the situation. Or my favorite thing to do, complain. Complain without solutions. Complain like I'm the only one who knows all the truth. And this becomes very pharisaical. And it, at the end, really becomes hypocritical. And I will lay claim to that because that's exactly what I do. I think I know best. If the government would just listen to me, everything would work out. Of course, I say the same thing about God, too. If God would just listen to me, everything would be better. Praise be to God that I am not God, that I am not in control, that He truly is in control. And this statement that we are to not just render unto Caesar what is Caesar's and to God the things that are God. We need to understand where we came from. And this is great stewardship. And this is not about money. Yes, Jesus is talking about money. Yes, Jesus is talking about finances. But Jesus, as God, is the owner of all creation. Everything we touch, everything that we are, is owned by God. So how can we say we're in control, that we are the ones who know better? And this is what is laid before us. And even the Pharisees who were trying to trap Jesus marvel when they hear this. The bigness of God coming and saying, all things are mine. Use the worldly things for world things and the God things for God things. And this is the right kingdom and the left kingdom. And the right kingdom, God's kingdom, rules all things because God rules all things. So how do we use earthly things for the building of God's kingdom? This is one of the reasons every Sunday and just about every worship service we pass the offering plate. It is because we, the people of God's kingdom, understand that God has blessed us with these gifts, the gifts of money, the gifts of finance, to support, to sacrifice, so that we know that we are helping the proclamation of the gospel, the proclamation and promise of those who need to hear the forgiveness of sins. And we get to do even more. We get to reach out into the community. We get to provide programs. We get to provide help. We get to provide so many things to help bring understanding, love, mercy, the acts of God out into the world. Yes, the community should come to the church. Yes, people should be breaking down the door to hear the words of holy absolution. Your sins are forgiven. At no time in all of time has that happened. Yes, the churches have been full. Yes, people sought out the church, but it's never been too full. It's never been so full we've had to turn people away or that we couldn't serve and give. And we need to realize that we still have so much work to do, and it is done through your financial support, from your good works, your giving of time, your giving of money, your giving of resources, your participation. And those things all go hand in hand. When Jesus says, give to Caesar what is Caesar, and to God's what is God's, he's talking about you. And this is all the summary of God's law. Love God with all your mind, all your heart, all your soul, your everything. And likewise, love your neighbor as yourself. This is the vertical and horizontal relationships. Our vertical relationship, our up and down relationship, is us and God. We are to give everything to God because He is the one in control. He is the one doing the work to sustain, to create, to keep, to hold, and on and on. But when we look at that, when we look at how much we have been forgiven, how much we have been loved, just look upon the cross and see the death of Christ for you. If you've been forgiven that much, if you have been loved that much, then turn to your neighbor and love them as you have been loved, all the way to the depths of death and to life everlasting. This is your promise. This is your life. This is your gift. And Jesus reveals this to the Pharisees, and it blows their mind, as it should blow your mind. Because again, it's so easy to look at our stuff and say, I earned that, or I deserve that. And there might be some truth to that, that your hard work has given you this opportunity to receive, to be given, to buy, whatever. But all of this still points to who gave you the body that did the work, who gave you the mind who did the work, who gave you all the things so that you could earn, buy, have the stuff that's in your life. It goes back to God, the supreme ruler king, who wants you to have all these things in your life and give him praise and glory. We are to see everything in our lives as a gift from God, from the breath in your lungs to the money in your pocket, whatever. It all comes from God, to be used for the benefit of the building of the kingdom here on and in earth. That is why we get to pay taxes. And yes, I say, said, we get to pay taxes. And again, if you could see me, I'm not smiling about this. These are the things that are presented to us. And we need to understand, this is a gift from God. Yes, government. Yes, taxes. Yes, our community. Yes, our people. Yes, this life. And the things that are in this world are all a gift from God. We corrupt it. We misuse it. So on and so forth. That is why we have the problems we have. And so we get to work to be better citizens. We get to work to be better Christians, more faithful, and to give more of ourselves. How can you better participate within church? And the great thing is, show up. Come to church. Talk to your fellow believers. Talk to your fellow Holy Crossers. And be with them. Give of your time. Give of yourself. Tell people about yourself. Ask them about themselves. And this is what we do as a community. This is how we build each other up so that we do get to give God what is God's. Praise, thanksgiving, alms, prayers, and fully ourselves. This is hard stuff. And it's hard because, again, we want to be in control and we think we are the owners and not the stewards, the ones who work the gifts, work the resources that we don't own. And so let us be like the Pharisees, and I mean this in a good way, and marvel at what Jesus has said. And instead of going away defeated because we are no longer able to out-debate Jesus or to logically wrestle him to our argument, we get to go away into his creation to serve him and to serve our neighbor, rendering unto Caesar what is Caesar's, and serving God in the blessedness of the sure and certain hope of the forgiveness of sins and the resurrection to life everlasting. Thank you for listening to Get Right for Sunday. I know that your time is valuable, and of all the things that you could have watched or listened to, you have chosen to deepen your biblical understanding with Get Right for Sunday. Would you take a moment to give a 5-star rating of this podcast on Apple Podcasts or your favorite podcast platform? This actually helps others to be able to find Get Right for Sunday. Again, thank you for your time, your prayers, and support.